Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, Kang behind the glass, Kenny on the phones. It is the Karsh and Anderson radio program. Hope everybody's doing great on this Wednesday, hump day. Scott, interesting stuff regarding our Lions. As we head into the bye week, a moment to reflect a little bit.
All right.
A moment to do some fine tuning. And we talked a little bit about it yesterday. Things are pretty good. Things are pretty good. Doesn't mean you can't fine tune, right?
Correct.
And we're all about some fine tuning. Understanding that most of our problems, well, they pale in comparison to other people's problems. Let's start with this. Dave Burkett, Lions Insider, wrote today, I've been pretty steadfast. This is Dave speaking, quote, I've been pretty steadfast in saying the Lions are the best team in the NFC, and Monday's win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers cemented that in my mind. Do you think they're the best team in the NFC?
I think they're absolutely in a discussion. I think, you know, it's interesting to see some teams bowing out of this, right? Washington. Out of the discussion right now. Their quarterback is going to miss another game. There's no Jaden Daniels, and that's a 3-4 football team right now anyway. Philadelphia, they're 5-2, but Philly's getting healthy again. But there's a disconnect there with what's going on with Saquon Barkley averaging less than 3.5 yards a carry. That's kind of strange. You still got the wide receiver seems to be upset or a little cryptic in some tweets he's got out there about his usage with the team. I think it's interesting when you look at the NFC West. They got three teams that are 5-2 out there.
Someone had a bold ass prediction about that.
Huh? Look at this. Yeah. San Francisco just keeps doing it. They keep getting it done with backup players. And, you know, are they going to get healthy and make a run? Seattle, I don't know if I buy them long term success. The Rams at 5-2 you kind of shake your head like, wow. I mean, Stafford is taking his career to a different peak with the Rams. Obviously, he'd already won a Super Bowl, but I mean, he had 5 touchdown passes on Sunday, and that's a team that has a great pass rush, and it's not just Jared Verse. You know, their team is led by, I think it's a 29-year-old linebacker who's got like 9 sacks on the season already. So I think they're in that discussion, but I couldn't say definitively that they are. What I'm encouraged by is that they've gotten it done with a 5-2 record here, and they're nowhere near healthy. That they really put a stamp down defensively in the game against Tampa Bay, who is a good team. Now, albeit Tampa didn't have their full complement of players, but Abuka and Mike Evans played, and Mike Evans couldn't finish the game, broke his collarbone, and then Abuka is completely shut down by guys that were pulled off the street. Mm-hmm. So they did a nice job with that. So I like what they've done. And yep, they're going to get healthy. We're going to see Terry and Arnold back. We're going to see Branch and Joseph back. And we're likely to see DJ Reed in a few weeks as well. All that is going to bode well for that defensive side, let alone some other players. So I'm just hesitant to say that they are the best. I think they're in competition with Philadelphia and the Rams.
Hey, Kang, do you think the Lions are the best team in the NFC?
I kind of feel a lot. Very similar to what you said, Gator. I cannot count out the Eagles. I just can't. On paper, and I know the game's not played on paper, but on paper, they have a great lineup. They have so much talent on both sides of the ball. And by the way, They just won the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? And yeah. It's not like they made some humongous changes.
Remember that?
Yeah. If anything, yeah, they lost their coordinator, but we see how you could do well with new coordinators right here in Detroit. They lost Kellen Moore, at least. They still have Vic Fangio, which I think he'll turn on the defense a little bit, too. The Lions, it's the injury bug thing for me. It's still there. I mean, I did a great job this past week, but there's a reason why these guys aren't starting. Consistency, right? Can they continue to do it every single week? It's one thing to galvanize the troops for 1 week, but to keep doing it. And we found out last year, next man up mentality is great until you run out of next man up. And they kind of almost did that this past weekend. But with that being said, or this past Monday, they did it. They won the game versus a 5-1 Bucks team. You got to give them their credit. I think they're right there, like you said, Gator. I probably give the Eagles a slight edge right now just because they're still the Eagles.
You want some crazy stats? Some crazy numbers? I'll give you some crazy numbers.
Let's go.
Philadelphia Eagles lead the NFC East. They're 5-2. Their point differential is +5.
Wow.
You look at the Packers, who lead the North, they're +33. The Lions are +64. You look at the NFC South. The Buccaneers lead the NFC South now with a 5-2 record. Their point differential, -1. Look at the NFC West. You know, San Francisco is atop that group. They're at +7. That's it. The other two teams there are +57 and +58. But it's just wild. Well, the teams have these good records, and some of them are just barely getting by on a week-to-week basis.
You know what that tells me? That tells me that if you watch the Lions-Buccaneers game and you were a little concerned about some things here and there and do believe in some fine-tuning, that's fine. If you watch the Lions-Buccaneers game and were disturbed because they only scored 24 points and only won by 15, you're out of your freaking mind.
Oh.
Because everybody else is dealing with winning games by smaller margins, right?
At least in the NFC, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, tell me if this makes a difference to you at all. And that is, Lions are the favorite in the NFC now. Like, that Green Bay game is such a distant memory. Lions are +360 to win the NFC. Green Bay's +400. Does that make a difference to you at all?
No, I don't really look at the odds so much.
Okay.
and look too much into that. I think that a lot of that is just manipulation of a fan base and see what you want to do. So I don't know. I have a hard time really kind of reconciling what the numbers truly mean.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. It doesn't surprise me. I think people look at the Lions and still think what a great offense they have, and it's probably the most prolific offense in the NFL when they're going. So maybe that's just a reflection of that.
Kang, does it mean anything to you? Lions now the Vegas favorites to win the NFC?
It just means that everyone's back on the bandwagon. I don't know, right? Like, you're right about week one being a distant memory. I think that's where the money's going. I think it means they're playing the hottest football right now is probably what it means. They look the best right now, but it's still early.
All right. 248-539-9797. Yeah, the Burkett thing, and I think, Gator, I'm not sure if you mentioned these verbatim about the injury updates when you were going through who's coming back. He wrote, Arnold, Joseph, and Branch should all be back after the bye for the Lions division game against Minnesota. So there's three of your starters back in the secondary. DJ Reed will follow soon after. Here's a forgotten man.
Yep.
Linebacker Malcolm Rodriguez also is due back after the bye. To start practice at least, and defensive end Marcus Davenport could return before Thanksgiving. Dan Campbell was asked about Davenport last week and thought he made an especially telling admission at the end of his answer when he said, we're going to be looking pretty good at the end of November or December, which is awesome. So Davenport, I know.
Yeah, well, I mean.
I'd rather have, but.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Last year he was hurt, out, all that. We want him to be healthy when they go into the postseason. This is the whole thing. The whole thing is about the postseason, right? That's where we are as an organization now.
So just keep him as a healthy scratch until then?
You're just going to practice at game speed for months.
I really like Marcus Davenport. I want him to stay healthy because I think when he is healthy, he is a plus player in this league. Mm-hmm. I think he's a great complement to Aiden Hutchinson if he's healthy, but it's such a giant if. I can't count on it. So, you know, when you read something like that, it's like, oh, okay. I mean, sure, hook him. It'd be great. But I'm not counting on it at all.
Yeah, I understand it. And I guess I'm putting my money where my mouth is here a little bit. If all we talk about is a postseason, like, and that is such a point of emphasis, then somebody being hurt during the regular season, I'm not going to let it have me give up on that guy or that player. And the other thing that scares me about all of these, look at all these guys who are coming back. I just feel like that means the guys who are currently playing are going to be hurt by then. And that's sort of this vicious cycle of you're never fully healthy.
That's our psyche.
Don't count on it.
Yeah, that's the psyche of a Lions fan right now.
Yep. All right, Dave Brickett also provided some insight on the trade deadline and what it all means and what does he think is going to go down. We'll get to that today at 1:16 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. All right, so we were talking about this Dave Brickett story that he did in the Free Press today. Was it four questions or four things we know, whatever. He did 4 points about the Lions as we hit the bye week, which is, you know, I mean, it's a good time to take a step back and do a bit of analysis as to where you are and what's ahead. And he talked about the trade deadline. This may disappoint some people because he wrote about how he still thinks they're the best team in the NFC, but the Lions have enough reinforcements coming, in fact, that I don't expect them to be major players at the November 4th trade deadline. What do you make of that?
To be major players? I mean, that's you're talking about like a Trey Hendrickson type thing or a major, whether Max Crosby's name is out there now because there was a story that they were interested, that the Cowboys were interested in Max Crosby. I would guess I would be a little disappointed if players of that ilk are available and the Lions are just going to say no. I think that could be a misstep. But I think there are plenty of players available that might be available to them that don't cost nearly as much that could also be upgrades on the roster. The other thing is, as a season is going on, the priorities may change. It may change significantly of what the need for this team is. Only have one more game to play before the trade deadline. That'll be the Minnesota game after the bye week. And then the bye week, I think, is that Tuesday after. So, or not the bye week, the trade deadline's the Tuesday after. Right now, I'm not sure what that number one priority is. Like, they're getting a pass rush, a reasonably consistent pass rush. We saw that the addition of Lee McNeil to this team, now that he's back, getting pressure up the middle is big. I think that's going to help out, you know, El-Kadim Muhammad and others and we'll see, but I'm not saying don't go after a rush end, but that may not be the number one priority because you played without your starting four secondary. I'm thinking, what about solidifying that? Well, you are going to get Arnold, Branch, and Joseph back, and then hopefully DJ Reed comes back a few weeks after that or a couple games after that. So do they need to add to that? I think you can't have enough corners in this league. You just can't. And if you can upgrade, you always try to upgrade. But here's the sneaky one. What about a tackle, an offensive tackle? I didn't think much of it because I thought, okay, they're just being careful with Taylor Decker. And when he comes back, he'll be ready to come back when he's ready to come back. And he comes back and he plays. And afterwards he says, yeah, I don't feel great. And now does that cast concern about his future long-term for the rest of the season here? Do they need to find another offensive lineman that would be considered an upgrade over what they have? And what they have is Dan Skipper. Do they need to take a look there and help protect against the thought that, that Taylor Decker may not be able to finish the season?
Well, the needs that they are likely to address feel different than the marquee needs that people want them to go after. There's a story that started to circulate during the show yesterday, and we didn't even bring it up. And maybe that was a failing on our part, but it was in on the fly editorial decision. All the Cowboys are in talking to the Raiders about Max Crosby. Right. And as soon as I saw that, I thought, BS. And 24 hours later, less than 24 hours later, reports out there that the Raiders are not trading Max Crosby. They met with him to tell him not to buy into that. They're not shopping him around and will not trade him.
Was it Trey Wingo that had the story, I think?
I think it was Trey Wingo, and then I think it was Ian Rappaport was the first to say, yeah, that's I'm Tom Pelissero, okay? They met with Crosby to inform him they weren't shopping him on the trade market and won't part ways with him, is the wording. And it goes back to trade rumors are so much fun, but I'm starting to get hostile towards them because I think they do more damage than good. Because I'm sure there's some people that saw that story yesterday. Ooh, Cowboys might get Crosby. Why don't the Lions?
Right.
And then they'll trash Brad Holmes. And maybe it doesn't matter if they trash Brad Holmes, but they'll trash Brad Holmes because he should have got Crosby when he could have. And I don't know where this started, why it started from Wingo, but.
Yeah, I don't know. But we go back a year ago and the same stuff was circulating. Stuff. And then what happened? Oh, he wasn't traded.
Yep.
You know, well, what about Myles Garrett? Yeah, he wasn't traded.
Yep.
Oh, what about Trey Hendrickson? Still hasn't been traded.
The one
that was traded was Micah Parsons.
Micah Parsons did get traded.
And he is a difference maker.
It's a big deal. And Parsons was a little different because it came with a huge price tag financially that I don't think the Lions massive wanted to commit. And, you know, they obviously are probably going to have to deal with Micah Parsons. And we'll see if they made the right call or not. You go get Micah Parsons because you're trying to win a Super Bowl. And if Green Bay might be right in the end of all this. I don't think Trey Hendrickson is getting traded. I think Cincinnati's doing enough to dissuade him, and teams just don't give up those kinds of parts very often. But that also, the Parsons thing is why you always keep an open phone line to Jerry.
Yes.
It's you always keep it open. It's been since the Roy Williams trade where I'm like, they got what for Roy Williams?
Phone a friend.
Always keep an open line to Jerry. 248-539-9797. David in Clinton Township, you're on 97.1 ticket. Hi, David.
Hey, fellas, I actually want to talk about a backup quarterback, but why would Dallas, if they were going to pay Max, wouldn't they just cut Micah?
I mean, the Micah thing got personal.
Because Max is our...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Pretty under contract, and the Max Crosby contract is nowhere near what Parsons is getting paid. It's actually almost twice as much.
So Are you 100% confident going in with our backup quarterback that we have now?
No, I'm glad you brought this up. Would I call New York about Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston? Yes. I would call the Giants.
Actually, how about Justin Fields?
Oh, the Jets?
He looks like a disaster.
He
right
does
now.
Look like a disaster, but both of, I mean.
And I it, like Justin Fields.
The Jets?
He looks out of sorts.
Are the Jets a disaster? Would Justin Fields look better with these weapons around him?
Yes. Because he wasn't horrible in Chicago.
No, he wasn't horrible in Chicago, but he also had some weapons in Chicago. I mean, with the weapons you have here in Detroit, it's you have to have a cerebral game with that. And I don't know if the game slows down enough for him where he, you know, we're gifted with Jared Goff, with what Jared Goff is above the shoulder pads. He is elite when it comes to analyzing what's in front of him and knowing where the ball has to go. And Justin Fields is elite when it comes to taking off and having to get somewhere in a hurry because he's got that athleticism. But I don't know if I just think it's been really strange watching Justin Fields regress this season. Like the first couple games, watching him play with the Jets, and he's making those plays, and he's throwing the ball reasonably well. And now he just looks completely lost.
Yeah. Everybody's regressed with the Jets. Aaron Glenn has regressed with the Jets.
Okay. David, I think there's a lot of guys out there that could look a lot better in Detroit, but it doesn't matter. The only point of comparison that matters is, would these guys be better than Kyle Allen? And if you take a veteran like a Russell Wilson, who looked terrible in New York, but put him on this roster with veterans around him, would he be better than Kyle Allen? Jameis Winston, who I've had my problems with in his career, but would he look better than Kyle Allen? Could Justin Fields, who looks bad in New York, look better than Kyle Allen? And I think these are valid questions.
Well, they are valid questions, but also ask yourself, did Kyle Allen look bad the last couple preseason games you saw him play?
I'm not sure I really care about the preseason.
I get it, but I mean, seeing the improvement from one week to the next that he made in the preseason, like the first preseason game, he was awful. And then, all right, get some more reps under his belt and looks way more competent in the next couple games that he had a chance to play and like these guys' feet under him. But I'm not really concerned about the backup quarterback position.
You're not. I am. I am, because if Goff goes down for a few weeks, I want somebody that I'm confident can keep the train on the tracks. But if you believe in Allen, then that's fine. Then it's a non-starter.
I don't know if I necessarily believe in him, but I just don't know. I don't think that's a priority. The idea of adding Jameis Winston to this team, I don't have a problem with that. Do I think that would be an upgrade, or would I feel more comfortable with him over Kyle Allen? I would. I would feel more comfortable. I won't lie about that.
So anyway, Dave Burkett goes on to write about the trade deadline. Don't expect a major move, but they could use some help at defensive end. With Davenport and potentially Josh Pascal returning up front and the entire wave of starters coming back in the secondary, the Lions could be very particular about who, if anyone, they add for insurance. He writes, among the pass rushers potentially available, the Miami Dolphins' Jalen Phillips is the most realistic big name that could be on the move. Phillips missed most of the past two seasons with injuries, and he's healthy now, but he has just 2 sacks through 7 games. He's a good player, though. One who would be an upgrade to Lions front, and the Dolphins are going nowhere and might want to acquire draft picks. I don't think he'd cost much.
I don't think he would either. And I think you definitely take a look at Miami's roster up and down and see what players that you'd like to pluck from them. Add to that you saw Miami come in here for practices. So they may already have a real strong idea of, hey, we really did like this guy, even though, you know, the first practice against the Dolphins wasn't very competitive. But they had 2 practices in a game. They had 3 opportunities to see what the Dolphins look like up close and personal. It would not surprise me in the least if the Lions picked up the phone and called Miami and said, we would like this player or this player.
Devin in Detroit, you're next. Hi, Devin.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I would absolutely love Russell Wilson as a backup quarterback to us over Justin Fields. He's very inconsistent, and I would love to have a Super Bowl quarterback, Super Bowl champion as a backup to where we're trying to go. So now if Kyle Allen want to be third string and learn from the 2 in front of him, I would definitely do that as well. But I would take Russell over Justin Fields.
I don't know that Kyle Allen would, if they were to do that, it would be, we think this guy clearly could be better for us than Kyle Allen will be for us. But it's not completely irrelevant what those guys have looked like this year. which is not impressive. but I also don't think it's completely irrelevant to ask the question, who cares what they look like in New York? Do you think they'd be better in Detroit with this offensive line and these weapons around them? Can they win a pressure-packed game down the stretch if the Lions need a win?
Well, Russell Wilson has really regressed over the years.
I know.
He had a great year in 2020, 4,200 yards passing, at 40 touchdowns. But then his numbers have dropped since
then. Fields looks terrible.
Yeah.
He looks terrible now.
Sure, but I mean, I'm still talking about when Russ was in Seattle still. And his completion percentage is nothing to write home about over the last 5 years. I do have concern, and he's 36 years old. But yes, with this group of weapons,
it's just I don't need him to be good at anything other than that one game in December when you need a win. But
if
all right, let's talk some college football next. 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson. It's 97.1 The Ticket. Let's get back to your open line calls. Matt is in St. Clair Shores, and he is next. Hello, Matt.
Happy Wednesday, boys.
What's up, man?
Before I start, have you guys heard the nickname for the secondary yet?
The Legion of Whom?
The Legion of Whom. That's just fantastic.
I love it.
I don't know where it started. I saw it on social media Monday night. It's great.
So I just feel like we have recent case studies that if we have a good defensive line and average secondary, we can win. But if we have an average an injured defensive line and a good secondary or above average secondary, we can't. I think that's why we have to go pedal to the metal and bring in somebody like a Trey Hendrickson, a top line guy. We should not have a first round pick at the end of this season.
Recent reporting on this. Okay. The Athletic just had all of their guys give an analysis of where their team stands. Cincinnati. Okay. Their insider, Paul Denner, writes, there's a groundswell to trade Trey Hendrickson from the outside. It won't happen. They will never trade away a player who can help them win that season for future assets.
So I think that it's Brad Holmes and any GMs as much to create a market than it is to, you know, develop and whatnot. So if we want that parade, we need to just go and find out what Cincinnati will do or some team will do, because we sat on our hands last fall and we brought in Za'Darius Smith.
You know they did more than Philly. Philly won the Super Bowl. The Lions did more than Philly. Philly got ripped for standing pat at the trade deadline. They won the Super Bowl.
But we have a history of not doing enough. We just did this with the Tigers. Before that, we did it with the Lions.
It has nothing to do with the Lions.
We need an all-in move. There's no reason for us to have a first-round pick.
I would say this, Matt.
Year.
If there's an all-in move to be made, yeah. I mean, if Cincinnati is unwilling to trade Trey Hendrickson, then what's the all-in move?
You got four guys on the Giants right now on their defensive line. Kayvon's going to be a restricted free or a free agent. You got Leck Dexie that could use somebody. There's plenty of guys that Brad Holmes can go find and give a small.
Well, the call might be Miami. Miami's got a couple of guys. The Giants are probably, their record isn't good, but they're invigorated over these young kids. The loss on Sunday didn't help, but they're invigorated over these young kids. There is some speculation with the Giants. I mean, because like you're talking about a younger player in Kayvon Thibodeau. Dexter Lawrence might be the one to get out of there, but their defensive tackle spot might be okay. Matt, I'm okay with them going after a big time move. I just think we need to be a bit more realistic. This whole Trey Hendrickson, Max Crosby, Myles Garrett talk, which is starting up again, it feels wildly unrealistic. Things got personal in Dallas, and the player got mad at the organization. The organization was mad at the player. And Jerry, Jerry's being Jerry. And that came with a massive price tag as well as far as financial commitment. But I think is an all-in move Bradley Chubb? Is that an all-in move? Is an all-in move Jalen Phillips?
That's not an all-in move, but is it a move that improves your roster? And I think that question's answered with yes. That would be a move that would improve the roster, but it's not all-in. But I don't know if all-in's available. Is Brian Burns available? Is Kayvon Thibodeau available? You can make the call. And yeah. I encourage making the call
sure.
and go ahead and check it out. But, you know, I said to you during a break, I'd pick up the phone, I'd call Houston. They're 2-4 right now. They're not going anywhere. It doesn't look like they're going anywhere fast. Nico Collins is out now. So, you know, would they be interested in moving one of their young defensive players? Probably not.
Probably not. When you use the term young, I think that's where you...
I get it. But, I mean, those are the players that they're worth getting on that team. But do I make the call and do I talk to them and say, hey, any interest in, building up a stockpile of picks because you're ready to move on Will Anderson or Stingley? Even though I know the answer is probably no, but like Jerry, you've got to at least make the call and throw it out there and say, hey, you know, we're interested if you'd be willing to move.
It's just the Crosby song and dance that took place yesterday. Everybody in Cincinnati says the same thing over and over again. They're not trading Trey Hendrickson. It's just, I feel like this is almost, I guess it's not the same.
Well, they're not. That's what they're saying right now. Now, things can change in a couple weeks when you get closer to a deadline and
have an open line of communication. Look, but don't be disappointed if they don't get. I don't know.
But the Bengals have the Jets and the Bears coming up on their schedule leading up to the trade deadline. Jets are the worst team in football. They're not even telling anybody who's playing quarterback this week because they don't know who's going to play quarterback yet this week. Are they likely to beat the Bengals? Not likely. So Cincinnati can go to 4-4, even up their season. And then I don't know if they win or lose against the Bears, but the Bears are playing good football. But even if they're 4-5 going into the trade deadline, that's good enough to compete, at least in their own division, to try to win that division. The Steelers are on top at 4-2. They've got a very important game coming up Sunday night against the Green Bay Packers. I mean, there's all these dominoes to have to fall to see if Cincinnati's even going to be willing to move. But right now, it doesn't look that way because they still have a chance to make the playoffs.
Here's Rico Beard in studio. What's up, man?
What's going on, gentlemen?
How are you?
Good.
Good.
I like your college mascot blitz thingy.
Yeah.
Whatever you name.
Which question? Yeah, marching band. Yeah. Which was there a question in particular?
I was just wondering what got Gator and Gator's right here. I can just ask.
Hi.
Sorry, I hate when people do that.
I'm Scott Anderson.
Hi. So what got you on the whole Rutgers rant? Like I got into the I got out and then
what
I
was
got
the question.
Yeah, I got back in the car. Like I went out, stepped out the car for a second, and then when I got back in, he was just like. Rutgers? What the hell is in Rutgers?
The question was, Purdue plays Rutgers this weekend. What's the worst Big Ten school to be a fan of?
Okay. Because I'm trying to play the game.
I felt like it was
what
a cheap shot at Purdue.
What was the question? And he was like, Rutgers. Was the Rutgers?
That was a question.
Got you. Because you're like, they're an engineering school. I'm like, I have no idea what these guys are.
Basketball, they got a great school.
Yeah, What the hell does Rutgers have going for
them? You know what? And only because I watch way too much college hoops, the rack.
The rack?
It's like, coaches will say it's one of the hardest places to play.
It's a throwback, yeah.
It's one of the, because the way it's designed and everything, it's a hard place to get a win in.
So. It screams Patriot League.
You know what? I said I watch way too much college hoops, so I knew that. I'm like, but I got the, you know what? Never mind.
Oh, all right. And there's still a crap basketball.
What do you got playing?
Yeah, and they had what two of the top three people in the top 10 people in the NBA draft.
How did that happen?
Tournament.
What do you got playing coming up now?
Wings. Are you ready to be hurt again? And just a question to Michigan and Michigan State fans with the game coming up Saturday. Your level of does this rivalry even mean anything to you anymore? Like it used to back in the day.
Have a great show. Stay safe, everyone, and please treat each other with respect. 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.